Chapter 17. Moderately for 2 or 3 months, when, as they said, they were in hopes the cold weather would check the infection, or at least the violence of it would have spent itself, and would abate, if it were only for want of people left alive to be infected. This was much the fate of our three travelers, only that they seemed to be the better furnished for traveling, and had it in their view to go farther off. For as to the first, they did not propose to go farther than one day's journey, that so they might have intelligence every 2 or 3 days, how things were at London. But here our travelers found themselves under an unexpected inconvenience, namely that of their horse, for by means of the horse, to carry their baggage they were obliged to keep in the road, whereas the people of this other band went over the fields or roads, path or no path, way or no way, as they pleased. Neither had they any occasion to pass through any town, or come near any town, other than to buy such things as they wanted for their necessary subsistence, and in that indeed they were put to much difficulty, of which in its place. But our three travelers were obliged to keep the road, or else they must commit spoil, and do the country a great deal of damage in breaking down fences, and gates to go over enclosed fields, which they were loth to do, if they could help it. Our three travelers, however, had a great mind, to join themselves to this company, and take their lot with them, and after some discourse they laid aside their first design which looked northward, and resolved to follow the other into Essex. So in the morning they took up their tent, and loaded their horse, and away they travelled all together. They had some difficulty in passing the ferry at the riverside, the ferryman being afraid of them, but after some parley at a distance, the ferryman was content to bring his boat to a place distant from the usual ferry, and leave it there for them to take it. So putting themselves over, he directed them to leave the boat, and he, having another boat, said he would fetch it again, which it seems, however, he did not do for above 8 days. Here, giving the ferryman money beforehand, they had a supply of victuals and drink, which he brought and left in the boat for them, but not without, as I said, having received the money beforehand. But now our travelers were at a great loss and difficulty, how to get the horse over, the boat being small, and not fit for it. And at last, could not do it without unloading the baggage and making him swim over. From the river they travelled towards the forest, but when they came to Walthamstow the people of that town denied to admit them, as was the case everywhere. The constables and their watchmen kept them off at a distance and parleyed with them. They gave the same account of themselves as before, but these gave no credit to what they said, giving it for a reason, that 2 or 3 companies had already come that way, and made the like pretenses, but that they had given several people the distemper in the towns where they had passed, and had been afterwards so hardly used by the country, though with justice too, as they had deserved, that about Brentwood, or that way, several of them perished in the fields, whether of the plague, or of mere want and distress they could not tell. This was a good reason indeed, why the people of Walthamstow should be very cautious, and why they should resolve not to entertain anybody that they were not well satisfied of. But, as Richard the joiner and one of the other men who parleyed with them told them, it was no reason why they should block up the roads and refuse to let people pass through the town, and to ask nothing of them, but to go through the street, that if their people were afraid of them, they might go into their houses, and shut their doors. They would neither show them civility nor incivility, but go on about their business. The constables and attendants, not to be persuaded by reason, continued obstinate, and would hearken to nothing, so the two men that talked with them went back to their fellows, to consult what was to be done. It was very discouraging in the whole, and they knew not what to do for a good while, but at last John the soldier and biscuit maker, considering a while, "Come, apostrophe," says he, "leave the rest of the parley to me." Apostrophe, he had not appeared yet, so he sets the joiner, Richard, to work to cut some poles out of the trees, and shape them as light guns as he could, and in a little time he had 5 or 6 fair muskets, which at a distance would not be known, and about the part where the lock of a gun is he caused them to wrap cloth and rags such as they had, as soldiers do in wet weather, to preserve the locks of their pieces from rust. The rest was discolored with clay or mud, such as they could get, and all this, while the rest of them sat under the trees by his direction, in 2 or 3 bodies, where they made fires at a good distance from one another. While this was doing, he advanced himself, and 2 or 3 with him, and set up their tent in the lane within sight of the barrier which the townsmen had made, and set a sentinel just by it with the real gun, the only one they had, and who walked to and fro with the gun on his shoulder, so as that the people of the town might see them. Also, he tied the horse to a gate in the hedge just by, and got some dry sticks together, and kindled a fire on the other side of the tent, so that the people of the town could see the fire and the smoke, but could not see what they were doing at it. After the country people had looked upon them very earnestly a great while, and, by all that they could see, could not but suppose that they were a great many in company, they began to be uneasy, not for their going away, but for staying where they were, and above all, perceiving they had horses and arms, for they had seen one horse and one gun at the tent, and they had seen others of them walk about the field on the inside of the hedge by the side of the lane with their muskets, as they took them to be, shouldered. I say, upon such a sight as this, you may be assured they were alarmed and terribly frighted, and it seems they went to a justice of the peace, to know what they should do. What the justice advised them to I know not, but towards the evening they called from the barrier, as above, to the sentinel at the tent. What do you want? ? Says John. ? Why, what do you intend to do? ? Says the constable. To do, says John. What would you have us to do? ? Constable. Why don't you be gone? What do you stay there for? John. Why do you stop us on the king's highway, and pretend to refuse us leave to go on our way? Constable. We are not bound to tell you our reason, though we did let you know it was because of the plague. John. We told you we were all sound and free from the plague, which we were not bound to have satisfied you of, and yet you pretend to stop us on the highway. Constable. We have a right to stop it up, and our own safety obliges us to it. Besides, this is not the king's highway, 'tis a way upon sufferance. You see here is a gate, and if we do let people pass here, we make them pay toll. John. We have a right to seek our own safety as well as you, and you may see we are flying for our lives. And 'tis very unchristian and unjust to stop us. Constable. You may go back from whence you came, we do not hinder you from that. John. No, it is a stronger enemy than you that keeps us from doing that, or else we should not have come hither. Constable. Well, you may go any other way then. John. No, no, I suppose you see we are able to send you going, and all the people of your parish, and come through your town when we will, but since you have stopped us here, we are content. You see we have encamped here, and here we will live. We hope you will furnish us with victuals. ? It seems John was in the tent, but hearing them call, he steps out, and taking the gun upon his shoulder, talked to them, as if he had been the sentinel placed there upon the guard by some officer that was his superior. Footnote in the original. Constable. We furnish you I, what mean you by that? John. Why, you would not have us starve, would you? If you stop us here, you must keep us. Constable. You will be ill kept at our maintenance. John. If you stint us, we shall make ourselves the better allowance. Constable. Why, you will not pretend to quarter upon us by force, will you? John. We have offered no violence to you yet. Why do you seem to oblige us to it? I am an old soldier, and cannot starve, and if you think that we shall be obliged to go back for want of provisions, you are mistaken. Constable, since you threaten us, we shall take care to be strong enough for you. I have orders to raise the county upon you. John, it is you that threaten, not we. And since you are for mischief, you cannot blame us if we do not give you time for it. We shall begin our march in a few minutes. Asterisk, Constable. What is it you demand of us? John. At first we desired nothing of you, but leave to go through the town. We should have offered no injury to any of you, neither would you have had any injury or loss by us. We are not thieves, but poor people in distress, and flying from the dreadful plague in London, which devours thousands every week. We wonder how you could be so unmerciful. Constable. Self-preservation obliges us. John. What? To shut up your compassion in a case of such distress as this? Constable. Well, if you will pass over the fields on your left hand, and behind that part of the town, I will endeavor to have gates opened for you. John. Our horsemen **** cannot pass with our baggage that way. It does not lead into the road that we want to go, and why should you force us out of the road? Besides, you have kept us here all **. This frighted the constable and the people that were with him, that they immediately changed their note. **. They had but one horse among them. Footnotes in the original. Day without any provisions but such as we brought with us. I think you ought to send us some provisions for our relief. Constable. If you will go another way, we will send you some provisions. John. That is the way, to have all the towns in the county stop up the ways against us. Constable. If they all furnish you with food, what will you be the worse? I see you have tents. You want no lodging. John. Well, what quantity of provisions will you send us? Constable. How many are you? John. Nay, we do not ask enough for all our company. We are in three companies. If you will send us bread for 20 men, and about 6 or 7 women for 3 days, and show us the way over the field you speak of, we desire not to put your people into any fear for us. We will go out of our way to oblige you, though we are as free from infection as you are. **. Constable. And will you assure us that your other people shall offer us no new disturbance? John. No, you may depend on it. Constable. You must oblige yourself to that none of your people shall come a step nearer than where the provisions we send you shall be set down. John. I answer for it, we will not. Accordingly they sent to the place 20 loaves of bread and 3 or 4 large pieces of good beef, and opened some gates, through which they passed, but none of them had courage so much as to look out to see them go, and, as it was evening, if they had looked they could not have seen them, as to know how few they were. This was John the soldier's management. But this gave such an alarm to the county, that had they really been 200 or 300 the whole county would have been raised upon them, and **. Here he called to one of his men, and bade him order Captain Richard, and his people to march the lower way on the side of the marches, and meet them in the forest, which was all a sham, for they had no Captain Richard, or any such company. Footnote in the original. They would have been sent to prison, or perhaps knocked on the head. They were soon made sensible of this, for 2 days afterwards they found several parties of horsemen and footmen also about, in pursuit of 3 companies of men, armed, as they said, with muskets, who were broke out from London, and had the plague upon them, and that were not only spreading the distemper among the people, but plundering the country. As they saw now the consequence of their case, they soon saw the danger they were in. So they resolved by the advice also of the old soldier to divide themselves again. John and his 2 comrades, with the horse, went away, as if towards Waltham, the other in 2 companies, but all a little asunder, and went towards Epping. The first night they encamped all in the forest, and not far off of one another, but not setting up the tent, lest that should discover them. On the other hand, Richard went to work with his axe and his hatchet, and cutting down branches of trees, he built three tents or hovels, in which they all encamped with as much convenience as they could expect. The provisions they had at Walthamstow served them very plentifully this night, and as for the next, they left it to Providence. They had fared so well with the old soldier's conduct, that they now willingly made him their leader, and the first of his conduct appeared to be very good. He told them, that they were now at a proper distance enough from London, that as they need not be immediately beholden to the country for relief, so they ought to be as careful the country did not infect them as that they did not infect the country, that what little money they had, they must be as frugal of as they could, that as he would not have them think of offering the country any violence, so they must endeavor to make the sense of their condition go as far with the country as it could. They all referred themselves to his direction, so they left their three houses standing, and the next day went away towards Epping. The captain also, for so they now called him, and his two fellow travelers, laid aside their design of going to Waltham, and all went together. When they came near Epping they halted, choosing out a proper place in the open forest, not very near the highway, but not far out of it on the north side, under a little cluster of low pollard trees. Here they pitched their little camp, which consisted of three large tents or huts made of poles which their carpenter, and such as were his assistants, cut down and fixed in the ground in a circle, binding all the small ends together at the top, and thickening the sides with boughs of trees and bushes, so that they were completely close and warm. They had, besides this, a little tent where the women lay by themselves, and a hut to put the horse in. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.